There's a great new book out now called Humility, the Secret Ingredient of Success. And the author is Pat Williams, co-authored with Jim Denny. And this book is really terrific. And I can't say enough good things about it. It's filled with all kinds of great stories, but just shows how important humility is. Pat Williams, welcome back to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we're so glad to have you back on, Pat.
Thank you, Jerry. Always nice to catch up with you, and I appreciate the call.
Okay, so now you've written many, many, many books. I mean, almost 100, right?
Well, it's actually this one that you're talking about, Jerry, is book number 103.
Oh, well, it must be hard. Must be hard to stay humble or writing all those books.
Well, until they start selling hundreds of thousands of copies, Jerry, it's very easy to be humble.
Okay. Well, that's a good response. What sponsored or what was the catalyst for this book? What caused you to say, you know what, I need to write a book about humility?
Well, I think, Jerry, primarily throughout my career, I have just been so impressed with the number of humble people and highly successful that I have encountered or spent time with or interviewed or worked for over the years, and it's just left a deep imprint on me. These are highly successful people. These are legendary people in many, many respects, but yet you'd never know it. And they have a sweet, humble spirit, and that has touched me deeply. And so I thought it would be important to write about some of these people, and more importantly, to get the point across that humility can be learned, it can be taught. We need to teach it to our children and our young athletes and our students. And I'm convinced we can do that. So I'm not minimizing the importance of success and living to your full potential. I'm all for that. But I think we can do it also with great humility.
You talk about Katharine Graham, the Washington Post publisher, and something she called the X Factor.
Well, I opened the book with that story, Jerry, and here it is briefly. I was doing a radio interview with a woman, an author, and she got to talking about a time that she sat next to Katharine Graham at a luncheon. Katharine Graham was the longtime publisher of the Washington Post, and nobody of any note came to Washington from anywhere in the world without sitting at her table or going to her home or going to her reception. And so this woman, a writer, asked Mrs. Graham and said, "You've met all these people. They've all been here from around the world, great leaders. Is there a common thread that you've noticed with them?" And Katharine Graham answered immediately and said, "Yes, an absence of arrogance." And when I read that or heard that in my radio interview, I thought, boy, that's powerful. And I said, if that's how she feels, maybe we need to get that word out a little bit, among leaders in our country, that an absence of arrogance, you know, always will carry the day.
And yet not all leaders have the absence of arrogance.
Oh, I don't question that, Jerry. I don't question it. Hopefully they'll read this book and say, you know what, I've been a little too haughty here.
So in other words, because, I mean, for example, one of the things that, you know, like whether you're dealing with Tiger Woods or you're talking about Alexander the Great, you're showing how ultimately the hubris, the arrogance eventually caught up with them and then caused them to not be so great anymore. Or in the case of Alexander the Great, to die very, very young.
Jerry, it's true. I think eventually that arrogance is going to nail you. It's going to humble you real quick. You're going to fall. And that's why humility is such a big deal to God. I mean, throughout the scriptures, Jerry, we read a lot, don't we, about the value of a humble spirit. Solomon writes about it in his Proverbs constantly. But yet, later on in his life, Solomon got absolutely leveled, didn't he? Because you know, that arrogance came in there, it crept in, and, you know, really cost him dearly.
Thought he could handle it to marry all those women, the foreign wives, and, oh, I can handle this, you know, and then they led him astray in his heart.
Yeah, and he, you know, he just had a complete breakdown. We see that with others in the scriptures as well. My point is that humility is a big deal to God, and a humble spirit is awfully important to him.
This broadcast is actually being recorded around Christmas time, and when you think about humility and you think about Christmas, I mean, there's the ultimate humility. The Son of God, God himself, becoming a human being and then even being born as a baby and then even being placed, because there's no room in the inn, in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. It's not a crib for little baby Jesus. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. The original Christmas would have been smelly. Boy, talk about humility.
Yeah, isn't that something, Jerry? And this was God himself in the flesh who came down to earth for 33 years. He could have been the most... the most arrogant, impossible, overwhelming, haughty human being ever to walk the face of the earth, because he was God. He created the world. You know, he was there from the beginning. And now he's down here on this earth dealing with, you know, the, you know, these schleppy human beings.
Yeah, and on the cover of your book, you have a picture, and I had to stare at it for a while and figure, oh, this is, okay, it shows a pair of sandals, an ancient type of bowl, and then a cloth, and tile floors. So what it is, it symbolizes, of course, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That's what I assume that's what the cover is referring to.
Yeah, that's right, Jerry. That's right. And I think it came down to this, that Jesus was saying to his disciples, who were all vying, by the way, you know, for top billing.
Yeah, you're right.
They were quarreling about who was going to be number one, And Jesus basically was saying, all right, guys, you want to be number one? Then here's how to do it. I think he's saying it to us as well.
Yeah.
Then start serving people. Don't wait to be served. That's not going to cut it. Start serving. And that's what he did. And I think by washing their feet right before his death, he was just simply saying, you know, I'm a lowly servant, and I want you, this is how I want you to live.
Yeah.
You're saying that to us today. Living with a serving mentality, whether it's in the church or at home, in our work. Now, that does not mean, Jerry, that we're just these grubby worms, you know, groveling. That's not it at all. It does not mean that we don't want to be successful or good at what we do, or live to our full potential. We absolutely we should be doing that, but we can do it with a serving mentality, and that's when you've got everything going in the right direction.
Well, you have a great quote. We have many great quotes in this book, but here's one from financial journalist Maria Bartiromo, who is, as you note, has enjoyed a successful career at CNN, CNBC, and Fox News. And here's a quote from her. Some of the greatest people I know are also the most humble. Humility doesn't mean being wishy-washy or letting others run over you in their climb to the top. It's merely the understanding that you're human. People with humility are extremely appealing. We enjoy it when people can laugh at themselves. We dislike finger pointers and sentence parsers, those who are always looking out for their image. Without humility, you can never see the truth about yourself and others. There's a lot of great stuff in this book. I really enjoyed looking through it, and was amazed at even the example of FDR, where you talked about how, as a young man, he had been arrogant. And then through his polio and his, you know, the crippling disease and so forth, and his physical sufferings, he learned a lot to be a lot more humble.
Yeah, and a lot more understanding of other people. He,
empathetic.
You know, after that polio came, Jerry, he never took another step by himself. He couldn't do anything without the help of others. But yet, you know, he ranks as one of our, probably our, one of our three greatest presidents, led us through the Great Depression, World War II. He was a giant, but he did have to learn, you know, about the importance of humility. So sometimes God allows those events to knock us down or drive us to our knees. I think he's trying to teach us a good, solid dose of humility, Jerry. I think there's something to it. So, you know, anytime we do get struck down, you know, I think we should be giving thanks to the Lord, and our attitude should be, God, what do you want to teach me here?
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to come out of this situation wiser and smarter and with a more humble spirit? So, in other words, don't run from your sufferings, gang, because they're teaching us and God's going to use them.
Yeah, in fact, you and I have talked in previous programs about your own particular bout with cancer.
Yeah, you know, I was diagnosed 7 years ago, Jerry, with multiple myeloma, one of the blood cancers, and I've been dealing with it ever since.
Has it made you humble to some degree?
Oh, boy. Oh, has it ever. And it's opened the door. I never thought I would be in the cancer business of fundraising and speaking on behalf of cancer issues and counseling people over the phone almost on a weekly basis, you know, who have just been diagnosed. Over the weekend, I ended up with two such phone calls. Who knows what will come this week? Yeah. And so I'm, you know, I've certainly been driven to my knees. And, and when that cancer diagnosis came, Jerry, or anybody gets that news, I think you're faced with one of two issues. One, shaking your fist at God and say, how could you do this to me? You know, and become bitter, angry. Or take a flying leap into God's lap and grabbing him around the neck and holding on as tight as you can and saying, Lord, you know, I'm not letting go. You obviously have something here for me.
Yeah.
I elected to do the latter,
excellent,
the second one. I'm glad I did. You know, I don't think I'd want to be an angry, vitriolic victim of cancer. You know, so God certainly humbled me through all this.
Yeah. This book comes very well recommended. For example, Gretchen Carlson, formerly with Fox News, talks about how she just couldn't put it down and she really liked the book. And John Ashcroft also recommended this book. And so I think it's a really great great book. Do you have a website for the book itself or for your materials?
PatWilliams.com, Jerry.
Okay.
PatWilliams.com. Twitter page, Orlando Magic Pat. My email address is pwilliams@orlandomagic.com. pwilliams@orlandomagic.com. The book is in bookstores. It's up on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com as well.
Now, as a professional sports executive, and you're involved with the Orlando Magic and so forth, you're also a popular motivational speaker. And then, as I say, or you pointed out, you've written 103 books now. When you look and deal with some of these successful people, you find that humility is a common trait among those who are truly successful. That's an interesting thing. Some people might think that's almost a paradox, you know?
Jerry, it's true. And I in my speaking or in this book, I talk about Coach John Wooden. I talk about Lamar Hunt. I talk about Julius Irving, Dr. J. I talk about Dr. Billy Graham, the epitome of humility. There's that wonderful story that happened just this fall. His son Franklin was traveling to every state capital before the election and having a rally.
Yes.
And so he ended up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a month or so ago, and spoke to this mob of people, and he said, I bring greetings from my dad, Dr. Billy Graham. And Billy Graham later said to his son, do you think they still remember me?
You serious? That's amazing. And on that note, we're basically out of time, so we'll have to end. PatWilliams.com for more information. Again, the name of the book is Humility, the Secret Ingredient of Success. Thank you, Pat, for joining us. God bless you and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to talk to you.
You too. Thanks now. Bye-bye.